We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to talk with our good friend. He's been on the show quite often. He was a couple of years ago part of our expansion draft, mock draft, I should say, for the Vegas Golden Knights. Matt Beauvais from WKBW Channel 7 here in Buffalo. Matt. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you and how have you been?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on. And I think, you know what? I think the Vegas Golden Knights did a better job than we did putting together that hockey team. They did okay.
Yeah, they did just find themselves. And now they've got guys like Mark Stone and they almost had Erik Karlsson. And, you know, I mean, they've got themselves set pretty well for the long term here coming up. But, well, Matt, obviously, Ralph Krueger is the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Just want to get your overall thoughts on what you think of the hire.
You know, I was kind of probably like a lot of Sabres fans who were listening to this. I didn't know a ton about Ralph Krueger until, let's say, early last week when his name started getting thrown around. So then you start to do the research. And I think the more I've learned about him, the more I like the move for the Sabres. And that usually is what happens, because when these coaches get hired, people are usually quicker to say good things about them than bad things. But I like that the Sabres did something that was a little out of the box. I appreciate that. And I think Jason Bottrell knows he kind of needs to get this one right. And if that means that he's going all in with Ralph Krueger, then he has the confidence in him, which obviously is a good sign. And I like that they didn't just go with the quote-unquote retread, who has been around the NHL for a while. We heard Jacques Martin's name get thrown out there, yeah. Dave Tippett. I would have kind of liked the Tippett hire, someone like Alain Vigneault. I like that they did something a little different. I appreciate them taking a shot, swinging for the fence.
Yeah, and I mean, Ralph Krueger, certainly from what we've heard and what has been talked about him, a good communicator with his players. He seems like he's very open, wanting to get to know them, and wants them to get to know him. Which, you know, I wouldn't say that Phil Housley or you know, Dan Bylsma obviously was criticized by Tim Murray at the time for not doing enough of that, but I wouldn't say Phil Housley wasn't that. But it certainly, from what we've heard, as you've said, has been very nice to hear that, you know, he's a good communicator and he's actually willing to adjust his system to what actually is on the roster, which is a nice little change because, as I've said, Matt, you know, the past two head coaches bring in their own system. They kind of don't budge from trying to build their own system, and it doesn't work for the players that are here. And then Ted Nolan just didn't have a system. So this is certainly a nice little change of pace here for the Sabres moving forward.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's the thing that kind of kept on getting hammered home with both Jason Bottrell and with some of the different players who we've heard from these last couple days since the Krueger hire. I mean, nobody has a negative thing to say about him as a coach just from a personality standpoint and a motivator standpoint. But to the X's and O's thing, like you mentioned, it will be nice as long as he keeps his word and that he does what we think he's going to do.
Right.
Kind of adapts his style of play to the talent that the Sabres have on their roster. I mean, when Phil Housley got hired, we were all excited because we said, oh, finally, we're going to get to see some defensemen join the rush and we're going to get to see really active play back there. Well, the Sabres didn't have the personnel to do that, and they still tried to, and they got burned all the time. And that's why they'd have all of those defensive lapses. I mean, you can't have guys like Marco Scandella and Ristolainen trying to do the same things that DeLean are doing. It's unfair to expect that they could do the exact same thing. So hopefully Krueger realizes what the Sabres' skill sets are and where they might have their issues, and he adapts accordingly.
Matt Beauvais from WKBW Channel 7 joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Kind enough to do so here for a segment here on WGR. All right, Matt, so I'll ask you this question, kind of our topic of the day. What should be step two for Jason Bottrell and his off-season planning ahead? Should it be trying to get – I mean, I think obviously the main answer would be to get Jeff Skinner re-signed, but obviously the timing of that might be a little different. So if it happens to be Jeff Skinner, you can explain, but or if it's something else, what do you think it should be?
I think I probably feel a little differently on this than some people. I do think getting Skinner re-signed is important, but – I am pretty firmly in the camp of if you can move Rasmus Ristolainen for a fair deal, I think you explore it. I think the Sabres have finally kind of built up a nice little pantry of some defensemen. And I'm not saying that they're a finished product by any stretch. And Ristolainen is one of their better defensemen. But we've seen this over and over and over again. I think the lean is ready to take on more responsibility. And everybody says, myself included, that Ristolainen would be great if he had to play less minutes and he had less responsibility. Well, if you can get somebody who can play and give your team more, like a second-line winger or a second-line center, that would be the ideal return. Maybe some different assets. I think that's something that needs to be explored because this team, for as many problems as they had defensively last year, their biggest problem, at least in my opinion, was their lack of secondary scoring. Basically, when Eichel, Reinhart, and Skinner weren't on the ice, this team didn't score goals. And if you look at the teams that are still left in the playoffs right now, all of them have depth and can get scoring from at least their top three lines. So whatever it takes to get somebody like that, I'd imagine Matt Duchene is going to get paid a ton of money in free agency.
Yep.
Kevin Hayes will probably get paid more than he actually should get in free agency. And I don't know if I'm ready to say he's a bona fide top-tier number two center in the league. So if that means that you have to move a piece like Ristolainen and maybe you even include that second first-round pick to get a nice player in return, I think that's something they should look into. And I think that's something they will look into.
Yeah, and one name that I brought up with Mike Ajello just because that his name has been speculated on the market, and I've talked with Mike a little bit about it before, is maybe trading for a guy like William Nylander, a guy that is, you know, nearly $7 million on their cap. They've got to get a number of their young players re-signed to keep that nice core, the young core of that team together. And maybe for Buffalo, they'd get a nice top six winger who can score, who can make plays and do everything that you need a guy like him to do on the right side. But also that Toronto would get that nice right-handed defenseman that they've been longing for a while. And maybe Ristolainen, a change of scenery would do him good. And maybe playing somewhere in Toronto where maybe his minutes may get diminished a little bit would help.
You know, it's funny, too, because it seems like over the last couple of years, Ristolainen's best games have been against the Maple Leafs. He just always seems to get under their skin. And those are the games, when he plays like he does against Toronto, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's great. Why would you ever want to move him? This is the perfect defenseman to have on your roster. But it's so many of the other games where he makes the mistakes. I like the idea of a Nylander. For me, though, I think if you're moving him, and it all depends on the market. You know, there might be people out there, other GMs, who are like, why would we give you something valuable for a player who you don't even think is that good? Which is pretty fair. But to me, the big target's a center. And it's funny because last year we sat here with Eichel and O'Reilly. Well, O'Reilly isn't here anymore. So now you still need to find a second-line center because Casey Mittelstadt is not ready for that role yet. Jason Bottrell probably thought he'd be ready sooner than he was. I thought he would be ready sooner than he was. I still think Casey Mittelstadt's going to be a very nice player in the NHL, but I think he needs a lot of developing to do. So getting that second-line center, I think, is probably the biggest priority.
All right, Matt, so moving on from the Sabres here and heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs, obviously the Boston Bruins punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup finally. I think it was a relatively easy sweep for them over the Carolina Hurricanes. I just think that the bunch of jerks magic ran out in the Eastern Conference Final. But this Western Conference Final certainly is a very intriguing one. Obviously, Game 3 marred by the non-call of the hand pass, followed shortly by Erik Karlsson's game-winning goal. But the Blues, they respond well. They play a good game yesterday, and they tie the series. Want to get your thoughts on that series and where you think it goes from here.
Now, Brayton, this is kind of one of those humble brags, but before the playoffs, I actually picked Boston and San Jose to go to the Cup, and I was mortified with the San Jose pick because of Martin Jones. I was like, man, I don't know if I can trust them, but they have so much firepower, so I have to stick with them because I picked them early. So I still think the Sharks are going to win. Last night, even, you know, St. Louis jumps out to that 2-0 lead, and then for it seemed like the next 40 minutes, San Jose had 50 chances, and they couldn't find the back of the net to tie the game, especially late. I was like, oh, they're definitely going to score. And they didn't get one done. But it's been an awesome series, which is refreshing because, as you alluded, the Carolina-Boston series, it kind of felt like after the first game, like, yeah, this one's not going to even really be close.
No.
So I think a lot of the people in Buffalo are just really hoping that the series maybe ends in six games, so whoever plays Boston is a little more fresh and then the Bruins could lose.
Yeah, and just watching that the Bruins just dismantle Carolina, it almost was kind of expected just because I thought, you know, the series against Washington, Carolina obviously was the better team, and then they go to the series against the Islanders, and I think the Islanders themselves just didn't look themselves, and Carolina took advantage of that. But then the start of that series, like you said, just they didn't look right. Carolina didn't. And Boston, just playing, you know, a seven-game series against Toronto, looked pretty good. Then they play Columbus and looked pretty good. And Tuukka Rask has just been absolutely phenomenal for them. So Boston's going to be tough in the Stanley Cup final. And as you said, San Jose, you're picking them. So if you had to pick between San Jose and Boston, who do you think wins?
Boston. I don't really think it matters, quite honestly. I think St. Louis and San Jose, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Good for both those teams. But I kind of think whoever gets to the Cup is just going to lose to Boston. Boston has played such consistent, steady hockey. They got a ton of weapons up front. They're really, really balanced defensively. And Rask has been unbelievable. I mean, he's been really, really awesome. And I'm not somebody who thinks you need an upper echelon, top-tier goalie in the NHL right now. I think you can probably get away with spending that money elsewhere. But Boston's kind of showing us that when you have a guy like that who's probably letting in two goals at most in every game that he plays, you got a really good chance to win, and I'm just so impressed with Boston. I think even throughout the whole season, the Atlantic was probably the best division in hockey this year, and that might have made them not look as powerful as they are just because Tampa was so good, but Boston and probably any other division in the league would have been the best team in that division. So I think we're learning now, and it's really getting shown just how dominant they are.
Matt, what do you think about the game three with the hand pass? Obviously, this isn't the first time that we've been marred with some questionable calls by the officiating and the lack of instant replay being available in these certain instances. Do you think this offseason we're going to see a drastic change with the availability for a replay, or do you think maybe the league will adjust the way that they try having these challenges? Because obviously I think the main goal here, and Jason Bottrell mentioned this, is you don't want to slow down the pace of play, because I think that the pace that the game is already at is maybe the best it's been in a really long time. So I think that, you know, I personally think that the NHL should just have the right to just phone in down to the, you know, to the scores table there, and then they should tell the referee that, hey, that was offside, or hey, that was a hand pass. You have to disallow it. But you know, you never know what the NHL is going to do. It's always a baffling league as that is.
Oh, yeah, and it's such a slippery slope, right? Because everybody thinks that you just want to make sure you get the call right. So whatever it takes to get the call right is what I'm in favor of, because it was clearly a hand pass. The goal shouldn't have counted. I understand that it's a non-reviewable play, but if you have somebody who can talk down to the referees, maybe they have like a microphone system where they can kind of walk you down to the refs and be like, that was a hand pass, don't let that one count. I think that would have some benefit, because I think most fans, yes, the pace of play is important. Yes, you want to make sure the game is moving. But what's most important is getting the call right, and they didn't get the call right.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Matt. Oh, that's unfortunate, but Matt Beauvais from WKBW. Matt's back here. Matt, you got you here again?
Yeah, I got you guys.
Okay, very good. Just finish up. Go ahead and finish up your point on the instant replay.
I basically just said, you know what? Whatever it takes to get the call right, that's what I'm in favor of. I really like the idea of having the refs being able to have a capability of maybe someone from Toronto or somebody, an official who is watching from the press box, be able to call down and say, hey, that's the wrong call. You guys got to change it. And I know pace of play is important, but getting the right call is more important.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes to get the right call, that's what I'm in favor of.
Just as long as they don't continue to be the, oh, that's so minuscule, and make those calls that way with the skate off the ice but their legs over the blue line or however that is. I just want to see an end to that. Just, you know, make the obvious calls. If it's so obvious that you have to overturn it, go ahead. But if it's minuscule, I would just say move along, let it be.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Well, Matt, how's your golf game going lately?
You know what? I haven't even swung a club this year.
Really?
It is incredibly depressing. I've got a bunch of stuff going on, so I haven't swung a club. I think I might get out for the first time tomorrow, but it's going to be a disaster. I'm not somebody, I don't have the attention span to go hit golf balls at the range. I just don't like, I just get bored so easily. So I kind of have to ease myself into the year actually on the course, which is a terrible strategy to have. But no golf game so far, which is a bummer.
Well, I hope that you're able to get out and get active on the golf course. But I appreciate you taking the time today to join me. I know you're traveling a little bit, but appreciate that a lot. And best of luck to you this summer. Enjoy it, and I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon.
Thanks so much, Brady.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.